We're going to begin this morning by looking as at our key text, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. The writer says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." I can't imagine anybody in here not wanting to one day see the Lord. What must we practice to one day see the Lord? It says holiness. You might have another translation that maybe says sanctification. Because those words, holiness and sanctification and saints, all come from a common root word. So all of those are related. The people who are saints are those who are holy and are those who have been sanctified. I want to thank Wayne Jackson for a lot of his analysis of these Greek words. I'm certainly not an expert in that area by any means. But we're going to look this morning at the significance of being sanctified, of being holy, of being one of the saints. Because the Bible very specifically says here that if we want to see the Lord, we're going to have to pursue holiness. We're going to have to pursue sanctification. Sanctification is not just one of those great big religious words that only people in college study. It's a serious word that you and I must know what it means. We must know and understand its meaning, because how can we be holy or sanctified unless we understand what that means? The religious world, as is quite typical, has come up with some wrong ideas of what those words mean, especially the idea of being sanctified. Some of the religious world say that being sanctified means that you've reached that state where you're perfectly sinless. This is taught in several religious groups. In other words, until you have reached that state of being perfectly sinless, you're not sanctified. Sometimes it's called the second sanctification. Well, the Bible says that's not true. 1 John chapter 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. So we know sanctified, being sanctified those who are sanctified, it's not people who are sinless. Who are they? That's what you and I have to understand. And what does it mean to be sanctified and stay sanctified? Some teach that saints are a very special group of Christians, that you have to go through some sort of process and you can't become a saint until after you're dead and been dead for some time and accomplished different things. The Bible says that's not what a saint is. A saint is one who is a Christian. All the saints who were in Corinth, Paul wrote to them. Christians in Corinth, those who were living, they were saints. Why were they saints? Because they had been sanctified. So holiness and sanctification and being saints all have something in common. And one thing they have in common is we will not see the Lord unless we pursue, practice, holiness or sanctification. So it's very necessary for you and I to understand what it is, where it comes from, and how we're sanctified, and can we lose it? So it's to those questions that we want to turn our attention this morning. We're going to be looking at a number of verses that talk about this doctrine, this idea, this teaching of being sanctified. First of all, where does it come from? Where does sanctification come from? In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, he said this. Notice these words carefully. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. After saying that you are the called of Jesus Christ, he says to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, call to be saints. Call to be saints. Who's he writing to in Rome? He's writing to those who are called of Jesus Christ. Who are those? Those are the Christians in Rome. Who are the saints? It's the Christians in Rome. And remember, saints and holiness and sanctification all have a common root. They have something in common. These people to whom he's writing are the beloved of God, and they've been sanctified, and that made them saints. They've been made holy, or the holy ones. Sometimes the word saints is translated the holy ones. These are the ones he's writing to. But where does it come from? How can one be a saint? How can one be sanctified? And how can one be holy? Well, it originates with God. In other words, sanctification, being holy, cannot be separated from God. He's the one that makes us sanctified. The basic idea of being sanctified is simply this: being set aside for a specific purpose. Those Christians to whom he was writing in Rome, they had been set aside. Before, they were just part of the people in Rome. I mean, they'd go to the marketplace and they had work and they had families and they had houses. But when they were called by Jesus Christ, they were sanctified. They were set apart. It was like they were taken and set apart for a holy purpose. Now, if we want to see God, that's how you and I have to view our salvation. We cannot separate the two at all. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, the writer reminds us of another extremely important point about being sanctified. Hebrews 10, verse 10. In talking about God's will, verse 10 says of Hebrews chapter 10 this: by that will, God's will, this is what God's will is, we have been sanctified. We've been set apart. We have become holy. We're a saint. How did this happen? What was the basis of our sanctification, our basis of becoming a saint? It was through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I can't sanctify myself, and neither can you. He says, this comes through the offering of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't have to continue to do this. He did it once. So without his sacrifice, you couldn't be holy, you couldn't be a saint, and you couldn't be sanctified. Therefore, we couldn't see the Lord. Because we have to be sanctified to see the Lord. So the basis is the offering of Jesus Christ. It's not of ourselves. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment and notice how Paul stresses it's not of ourselves. It didn't come from us. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace, God's grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our salvation, our sanctification, our holiness comes from God, and it's through the offering of Jesus Christ. You couldn't do it by yourself, and neither can I. So if I want to see the Lord, it's not going to be because of something I did all by myself. Its basis, the only reason it can happen, is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So there's no other way to be sanctified except through Christ. But what means does he use? When he died on the cross, did he sanctify and save everyone and end of the story? No. We have to look at the rest of the New Testament to find out what means he uses. Back in John chapter 17, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says this, Turn with me, John chapter 17, verse 17. Here is the method, the means, the way in which we're sanctified. And much of the religious world has missed this simple expression, this simple truth in John 17. He says, sanctify them. And how does it happen? He doesn't end it there. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus' sacrifice is the basis for us being sanctified, but he uses the word of truth as the method. He says, sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy. How do they become saints? Through the truth. That's how they become saints. It's not by some experience through the Holy Spirit. It's not seeing a vision. It's not hearing a voice in our ears. It is through the truth. That's what he says. It's very plain, isn't it? We are sanctified through the truth. It's not separate from the truth. It's not outside the truth. It is only through the truth. We stressed this morning in class how important the word of truth is. It sanctifies us. Without the truth, I take the word of truth out of the picture, I can't be sanctified. So Jesus chose, by the word of truth, to sanctify us in that way. I suppose he could have done something else, I don't know. But that's what he said, and that's what he chose. So his offering makes sanctification possible. And the means he uses for people to be set apart, to be the holy ones, is the word of truth. That's how we are sanctified. And again, it's something that we must do. Jesus has done his part. He died on the cross. Now he's left us our part. We have a choice. Jesus didn't automatically save every single person in the world when he died on the cross. But he made it available. He made it possible for everyone to be sanctified, for everyone to be holy, for everyone to be a saint. But they have to make a choice now. And that choice is whether they want to be sanctified by the truth or not. Those are the means he chose. Not up to us. He says we have to make a choice. We have responsibility. Where does that start? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he tells us how it starts. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, 15. A very important, a very critical verse in understanding the need and the necessity of being sanctified. Because without it, we will be lost. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Notice, first of all, but sanctify. In the original language, I'm told, this is in the imperative mode, which simply means it's a command. You're commanded to do what? Sanctify the Lord God. Set Him apart in your heart. See, in our heart, we have all kinds of things that we can be following. He says, you do what? You sanctify the Lord God. You set Him apart far above everything else. Our heart, in this case, certainly is our will. It's our decision-making. See, it's our choice. Jesus has done what He can for us. Now we must choose to set Him apart in our hearts. See, that's where it begins. But we must do it. You must do it. I must do it. It's not something God does for us. We have a part to play in our sanctification. Now, without Christ's sacrifice, it wouldn't make any difference what we did. We couldn't be sanctified. So He has done His part. The word of truth is available, and now we use that truth to do what? set him apart in our hearts. So we're not passive. It is something you and I must choose to do. It's our decision-making part, if you will. I must choose to do that. Do I have to do it? No. It's my choice. There's consequences to not doing it. But God doesn't force us to sanctify Him in our hearts. It is our choice to do so. He's given us the Word, and it's complete, and it's available, and we can understand it. So now He says, sanctify God in your hearts. This isn't something that is done to us by the Holy Spirit or by anything else. It is something we choose to do, is set Him apart in our hearts. So we have an obligation to do it. Now we come, if you might say, to the crux of the matter. When does this actually happen? When does it happen? Ephesians chapter 5 tells us when it happened. Another critical verse in this section. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, the church, that he might do what? Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. There he says the means, the method, the process. Jesus died, so what might happen? We might be sanctified, we might be cleansed. How? With the washing of water. And this happens according to what? The word. The washing of water, and you can read any religious commentary of any person, all says the same thing. The washing of water means baptism. How does this happen then? We set apart. We make a conscious decision to set Jesus apart. And in that process, we use what? The Word. He says we're sanctified by the Word. That begins by something we do inside us. Sanctify them. We're sanctified. We sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. And what does that mean we do? It means that we are washed by water. This is very similar to what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, and then in verse 5. Except you be born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you'll not enter the kingdom. That's the same thing he's saying here. Notice the correlation. It says you're washed, unless you're born of water, baptism, and the Spirit, the Word, you won't enter the kingdom. You can't be saved. You won't be sanctified. So there's a great parallel between John 3, verses 3 and 5, and Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. We make the conscious decision in our heart, in our will, our mind, to set Jesus apart. That leads us to do something. What is that? Be washed by water. Be born of water. And how does that happen? Through the Word. He said we're sanctified by the Word. Well, that's how it happens. It's not by Holy Spirit baptism. It's not, again, by a dream. It's not something that some sort of experience that we have. That's not what the Bible says. If we follow the Bible, that's what we're going to do. And it's that straightforward. But the Bible also teaches, unfortunately, that we can lose our sanctification. We can lose it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 tells us we can lose that. Hebrews 10, verse 26. and following. Read with me, please. For it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Now notice verse 29. "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, past tense, a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Those people had been sanctified. They had been saved. They had been forgiven. And he says, "Of how much worse punishment will be those who have experienced being sanctified, saved, forgiven?" And then they do what? They trample underfoot the Son of God, the Son of Man. We can lose our sanctification. We can lose our salvation. Even though countless millions of people teach otherwise, the Bible is very specific. We can lose it. We can no longer set God apart in our lives if we choose not to. What's the result? The next verse says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." That whole section says we can sin in such a way, willfully, see, it's all about making decisions, where we trample underfoot the Son of God. We've been saved, we've been forgiven, we've been sanctified, we're a saint, holy, then we turn our backs on it. And he says, "Of how much worse punishment will those receive?" Because they've done what? They've experienced how good it is to be a child of God. Then they turn their backs on it. They trample the Son of God under their feet. Turn away from them. He says, those people need to fear, "Vengeance is mine." We can lose it if we're not careful. So my job, my duty, my obligation is found in 2 Timothy 2:21. And then we'll be through. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 says this: "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," talking about things that are dishonorable, "he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition." These are the things that you and I must do to pursue holiness, pursue sanctification. So it's something that I continue to do. It is not once sanctified, always saved. It's something I continue to practice and pursue. Otherwise, I can lose it. And if I lose holiness, if I lose sanctification, Hebrews 12 said, I will not see the Lord. Sanctification is critical to our eternal future. It begins being born of water and the Spirit, washed by the Word. It's a washing in water. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. It is like Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We go into the water, a sinner. We're dead. We come up. We're what? Romans chapter 6 says we're a new creature. A new creature. We're sanctified. We're forgiven. We're saved. We're one of the holy ones. And then our life from then on is a pursuit of holiness and sanctification. And we continue to do that because we know we can lose it. This morning, number one, have you been born of water and the Spirit? Have you been sanctified? Have you set the Lord God apart in your hearts? If not, we certainly invite you to do that. Or maybe you're like some that the Hebrew writer was writing to, and they were at least appearing to, beginning to go down that road where they were going to trample the Son of God underfoot again. He says, beware, because God says, vengeance is mine. But as long as we're alive, we can turn things around due to God's mercy. This morning, if you need to come, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.